Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house. Amen? That's wonderful. Listen, I came to church this morning at 7:30. I did. I left Wanda in the kitchen, and I came up here to church. You know what? God sent me to church at 7:30 this morning. Hey, you know that you're sitting in chairs, right? Well, listen, I came up here not because Jimmy did it, because God led me to do it. And I came up here and I prayed over all these chairs in this sanctuary, each section, over the sound booth back here. I prayed over these instruments, prayed over the prayer altar. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, thank you, you know, that I'm able to share this message this morning. And I'm excited about it. I'm so excited about it this morning. I'm going to tell you this morning, my friends, this is what I prayed when I come up here at 7:30 this morning. I prayed not only for these seats, but I prayed this prayer. I prayed this prayer right here, and I wrote it down. I prayed to God that all the demons, every evil spirit, every devil, even Satan himself would be removed from these premises, that they couldn't hurt, harm, or hinder anybody here or keep anybody here from hearing the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ today. Amen. And I claimed it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and by the protection of his shed blood and the authority that I have as a Christian, that I can do this. That's true. Now listen, he will remove everything. If you cleanse this place, and that's what I call myself doing, sweeping these demons out, you know, and getting rid of them, so the people here in the pews can hear the gospel of the truth of Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. And you know what he gave me when I was up here? He gave me the title for this message this morning. Not until 7:30 this morning. And you know what? Title of the message I'm going to preach about is, This is No Laughing Matter. This is No Laughing Matter. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Revelation. And turn to Revelation there to chapter 11. Chapter 11 in Revelation this morning. Because you know why? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Absolutely. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now chapter 11, I'm going to share with you because this is what God put on my heart to share right here. Amen. So we're going to begin right here. This message is such a truth. It's so factual. It's God's Word. And I'm telling you what, it's the real deal. And it's going to happen. You can't stop it. It's going to be. One of these days it's going to take place right here because it's in God's Word. And He says it'll take place right here. So today this is no laughing matter, my friends. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff, what we're going to talk about this morning. In Revelation chapter 11, I'm going to talk about verses 1 through 6. Then I'm going to talk about verses 7 through 10. Then I'm going to talk about verses 11 through 14. We're going to zip through this thing, but I'm going to share that with you this morning. There's going to be five T's that I'm going to talk about in Revelation chapter 11. The first one is the temple. It's going to be found in verses 1 and 2. The second one is the time. It's going to be found in verse 3. The third one is the traits, and it's going to be found in verse 4 through 6. And then in verse, the fourth one is the termination, going to be found in verses 7 through 10. And then the last one is going to be the translation. It's going to be found in verses 11 through 14. I'm going to go about this in a little bit different way in verse 1 and 2, and I want to share this with you right here in verses 1 and 2. I'm going to share it phrase by phrase in the first part of this right here. And look at what it says in verse 1 right there in chapter 11. It says, and there was given me. What do you think about that? There was given me. Can you pump me up a little bit, Larry? I know they can hear, but I'm kind of hollering. Hello? That's better. I can hear it. Yeah, okay. I may have to bow my head when I talk like it. All right, but anyway, there was given me. Now listen. This book is all God-breathed scripture. And it's all truth and factual and without any error whatsoever. This was given me. He's talking directly and personally to John himself. He said that was given me. And look what he says right there in the next phrase. A reed likened to a rod. Now he said, John, here, this is a reed likened to a rod. You know what that was? That was a measuring stick or a measuring tape. And he gave that to John. And guess what? He said this. And an angel stood. How about that? An angel stood. Now, an angel is one of God's messengers that goes about giving instructions and things to do to people that he wants him to talk to. So an angel stood right there. You know what he said? In the next verse he says, saying, rise. He said, rise. Get up, John. Get busy. I've got a job for you to do. And this is what I want you to do. And then the next phrase right there says, and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship there, therein. So John had to get started and get busy because God had sent him this message right here through an angel. And so he did that right there, and John got up and started doing the things that God told him to do. Like, we need to get up and get busy when God touches our heart. He tells us to get up at 7:30 in the morning, come to church. You don't disobey him, you obey him and come, and you'll benefit by it. Anytime God touches your heart and reveals something to do, do it. Do it. Don't ask questions. Don't hesitate and say, I ain't got time right now. Go ahead and do it. Regardless, you will benefit from it and you will be blessed by it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now I want to look at verse 2. The angels are still talking. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, but the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city, that's Jerusalem itself right there, holy city, they shall tread underfoot 42 months. Now you know what this is? This is the first part of the tribulation. This is the first part of the tribulation. That's what's going to take place. Now listen. He says the holy city, which is Jerusalem, and it should be tread 42 months. Now, the 42 months refers to 3.5 years of the tribulation right there. And this is going to take place. So we're going to see right now in verse 3. Now, I'm going to stop right here just a minute. I'm going to share with you this right here. Several years back, my wife was lost. She was not saved. She thought she was saved. She thought she was saved, but she was not. She heard a preacher preach a message talking about, are you walking down a look-alike road? Are you playing church? Are you just going to be seen? Has the Holy Spirit really convicted you? And so he convicted her of that message right there, and it touched her life, and she realized that everything she'd done in the past years was all false. The Holy Spirit had nothing to do with her. So now he's convicting her right now. Make a move, Wanda Cooper, and make that decision today. And he convicted her, and she went up there and talked to that preacher and told the preacher exactly the same thing. I've been walking down a look-alike road, just what you've been preaching about. And I want to be saved, and I want to follow the Lord in baptism. And she did that, and she's saved now. So, you see that? I want to share this with you too. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those that remain here and are alive are going to be caught up with him in the air, in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I want to share this. I want to summarize verse 1 and 2 for you as I just shared all that. In verse 1 and 2, the temple of God is apparently the temple which will be built during the tribulation days, and in which Jewish worship would be carried on there in the temple, and in which at the midpoint of that 3.5 years right there, in that 7-year period, the beginning of that 7-year period, the man of sin is going to come and exalt himself and put himself right there in that temple to be worshiped. Now, I want this scripture, I'm going to share this, but listen to this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 says this. Listen to these words. It says this: who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God. That's scripture. Now, this is what I wrote down. It says, at this midpoint of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will desecrate the rebuilt temple there in Jerusalem by putting himself right there in that temple to be worshipped. Now, this is going to be man's greatest sin ever of defiance and a defecation there, so of God himself. So we see that man's going to come and going to do that. Now, I got to share this with you, too. This has been on my heart, too. You know, I thought about this. I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. It's true. It's true. It's God's word. It's true. This is a definite. This is for real. You know, this is a real deal. It's going to take place. You can't stop it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen one of these days. Now, you know, I know, you've heard, you've seen yourself. I'm sure most of you have. On television and a newspaper, or you've heard, you know, people talking about it, or you've heard it on a news telecast or whatever, or something like that. There are people in this United States of America who claim to be Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You know that? They're in the North, they're in the Midwest, they're in the Far West, you know, they're in the Southeast. You know, there's two people in Mississippi that claim to be the Messiah. Did you know that? They are. You know, when you claim to be the Messiah and you are not, you know what you are? You are the Antichrist. Is putting himself right there into place. You're an Antichrist. I'm telling you, my friends, God has just has got me so excited about this message, I don't know what to do. So that's verses 1 and 2 talking about the temple. Now we're going to move on to the next part of it. It's going to be the time. Look at this right here. After that first end of that first year period right there, listen to this. In verse 3 it says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200 and 3 score days, clothed in sackcloth. That's the other second half of the tribulation right there. That's going to take place, my friends. Now listen, this also equals the last half, which is 3.5 years, and it refers to the ministry of the two witnesses right there. Isn't that something? That's the time period. These two witnesses, they're going to have power. They're going to have the authority. They're going to be able to do all kind of things. You know, that God, it says they shall prophesy. They're going to prophesy. They're going to be able to prophesy. They're going to be able to tell you the truth. They're going to be able to judge. They're going to be able to do all kind of things right there. I was going to demonstrate. I promise you, I stand here before God telling you the honest God's truth. I was going to demonstrate blowing fire out of my mouth during this message. Believe that? You're wrong. You're wrong. I can do it. But it's an awful stunt. And if you don't watch what you're doing, you can get your lungs singed and it can cause death. I went yesterday and bought the fluid and bought the lighter. And I was going to blow fire out of my mouth so y'all could all see it. But I thought better. I said, you dummy. God can use you instead of burning your lungs up. But you know, that's a fact. I used to do this when I was in high school. Just to show people, I'd take a Zippo lighter, put some fluid in there, you know, and strike it light right, and put some fluid in my mouth, and I'd go, poof! And man, it'd go, poof! It just fire out there. You see fire coming out of your mouth. But don't you dare go do it. Don't you dare do it. But you can do it. It's able to do it. But it's very dangerous. Very dangerous if you try to do it. So this is the first, the second half, brother, of the period of the ministry of the two witnesses right there. That's in verse 3. That's the time. Now let's move along to not only the temple and the time, but let's look at the traits for just a minute. It says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. Listen, beloved, this morning right here, we're going to see who these two witnesses are, because we're going to back up to verse 3. He's talking about the two olive trees and the candlesticks right there who stand before God. And he says back in verse 3, I will give power. I will give power to my two witnesses. Absolutely. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. The thing about it is, are you going to be there at that time? Are you going to have to face these two witnesses? These people today play in church. They ain't saved. And when they don't go back with the Lord in Thessalonians there, 4:16-17, they're going to miss the boat. And they're going to be there when this time period takes place. I'm not going to be there. My wife's not going to be there. I'm not going to be there during that tribulation time. I'm not going to have to face these two witnesses. But there's going to be people that's going to have to face these two witnesses. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to move along to verse 5. I've got that far so far. Verse 5 says this. And if listen to this, man, this is plain. You can understand it. It says, and if any man will hurt them, if any man will hurt them, it says, fire will proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. Can you imagine that? And you're gone. Because God says he's going to let them do it. And you're just ashes laying there. Because they're going to be hollering, no, no, I can't stand anymore. Leave me alone. And they won't leave him alone. So they say, well, I'm going to try to kill him. And when they try to kill him, it says, in like manner, they shall be killed by the fire that proceedeth out of the mouth. Boom, and they're gone. It happens that fast. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I want to share this with you, and this is from my heart too. Listen, this ain't going to be no pretty sight. It's not going to be no pretty sight, because he's going to give them the ability to kill millions upon millions upon millions of people because they missed the boat. They missed the boat. And they're not in heaven. And they're having to deal with God's two witnesses that's going to prophesy and going to kill them with fire that comes out of their mouth. Now, I got to say this to you. This is no laughing matter. It's no laughing matter. It's going to happen. It's for real. It's the real deal. Now, listen. You know, Brother Roberts made mention of it before. I'm going to make mention of it today, too. You know, the books, the Left Behind series books he's talked about before. You know, these good books. You know why? They got scriptures in them. They got scriptures in them. And they talk about God's Word. But you gotta have discernment when you read those books to separate the scriptures and the half-truths that are in there. Because you can get taken under. You can swallow some of that fiction or some of that half-truth, and it's no good. It's no good whatsoever. You know, the only thing that's good is what you got in your hand. This is all truth. And nowhere, there's nothing false, nothing fiction about it at all. This Bible is truth from cover to cover. Absolutely. Not a thing in the world is false in this Bible right here. And I'm just sharing that with you this morning. God put it on my heart to share with you. Now I'm going to share with you verse 6. Look at verse 6. These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, Miss Don, to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now I want to share this with you. You know, my belief, you know who the two witnesses are going to be? Elijah and Moses. Elijah and Moses. Let me share this with you right here. This is what I believe. The Bible tells me in the scriptures in the Bible. And I'm going to stick to the scriptures. It says about Elijah in 1 Kings 17:1, it says this. And Elijah, the Tishbite, was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now here's the words of God. But the Lord God of Israel liveth, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years according to my word. This is Elijah standing before God. And he's giving Elijah instructions, saying, hey, Elijah, there's not going to be any, you're going to be able to say, tell them there's not going to be any dew, any rain, or nothing in your ministry days right there. Absolutely. And then I'm going to tell you this now. It says in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. It's a lengthy passage, and I'm not going to read that passage, but I got a short summary in about two sentences here of that passage right there. And listen, it says, Elijah, being a man of God, will be able to call fire down from heaven. And in this book of Revelation we're talking about today, there's going to be great hailstones of fire that's going to fall down to heaven in excess of 100 pounds apiece. It's going to cause devastation right there, destruction. And it's going to be called down by Elijah. It says so in the Bible. So I have to go along with Elijah being one of the witnesses. He says to Elijah, Elijah, you're going to do this. You know? He's going to give him that ability to do it. You know who the next one is? Moses. Moses is the next one. And I want to share this with you right here. I believe that the next witness will be Moses. And here's why. Exodus 7:20 says this. It says that Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up his rod and smote the waters that were in the river. That's Donna, the river. In the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Now, I don't want you to think that Miss Donna sung about the living water, the fountain of living waters. Jesus Christ is the fountain of living waters. But you know what? There's not John, Peter, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Habakkuk. God didn't say anything in God's word about him taking the rod, one of those taking the rod and hitting the water, smoting the water right there, that when they did that, the water would be changed into blood. No. He said Moses is going to do it. So I believe with all my heart today that the two witnesses is going to be by scriptural in this Bible right here, Elijah and Moses. Absolutely, I believe that with all my heart today. Now, there's people who have different opinions about who's going to be the two witnesses. But I'm going to stick to what this Bible says. I've got to go with this. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's going to be Elijah and it's going to be Enoch. Because Enoch's faith was so pleasing to God in Genesis 5:24 that God took him that he should not see death. So they say, well, that's going to be Enoch. Elijah was taken that he should not see death. But listen, tell me something. You tell me, where's Moses buried? Nobody knows except God. God buried Moses, and he knows where Moses is buried. And when comes that time, he can go right back there and resurrect Moses and give Moses the ability to do just what the scripture says right here that he did. Now, I love Enoch, you know, and the things that Enoch did. He was so pleasing to God. We should be pleasing to God, you know. Praise the Lord. So I believe those two witnesses are going to be Elijah, and it's going to be Enoch as well. I mean, Elijah and Moses, I'm sorry. Now listen, the end of the scripture verse in 6 says this, and he says, they can and will smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now the plagues are found in Exodus chapter 7 through 11. All these plagues right here. Now listen, the first plague is this, the blood. The blood. The second one is the frogs. The third is the lice. The fourth is the flies. The disease of the beast. And the boils on man and beast. And then the hail. And then the locust. And the darkness and death. And they're going to be able to do this as often as they want to. All these people there. Just loose them and let them, you know, all over these people there. And they're going to be so mad, so angry at these two witnesses, they're going to try to kill them. And when they try to kill them, in like manner, they shall be killed by the fire. They're cinders. They're dust. It's over with. So that's the things in verses 1 through 6. Now that's the temple, the time, and the traits of these two witnesses right here. Now look at verse 7. This is, we're going to start the termination of this right here, and we'll go pretty fast because it just explains itself so fast, it's unbelievable. The termination is this, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Not one individual can do anything to these two witnesses except the beast. The beast is going to be able to walk up there and kill these two witnesses. Dead. Absolutely dead. And these people that's left there, they're going to be saying, you know, to these two witnesses after they're laying down there dead, you can't hurt me no more. They're going to spit on them. They're going to do all, this is my, just my version now. I believe they're going to do all those things to these two witnesses. Now look what it says in verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is Jerusalem again, and shall, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, after that, that beast there comes and kills these two witnesses right there, that's where they're going to lay. They're going to lay right there. They're going to begin to decay. They're going to begin to stink. And people are still not going to put them in the grave, not whatsoever, because they wanted to see them right there suffer because they're dead, rot. Their body's just rotten and stinking all over the place. So that's verse 8. Verse 9 says, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies three days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves because they know all these witnesses right here and what they brought about in their lives right there. And they're going to want to just watch them. Just watch them. Decay. Rot. Have you ever seen a body pulled up out of a river? How it's just flesh just hanging on it. And it's just decaying and decomposing there is what would be happening in the street right there. So they're going to see them decompose right there right before their eyes. They're going to watch and laugh and carry on. Now look what it says in verse 10. It says, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. You imagine that? There's going to be a party going on. It's going to be like Christmas and New Year's Eve. They're going to be celebrating. They're going to be making merry. They're going to be drinking and carrying on. And they're just going to be rejoicing because these two bodies right here are dead and can't do any more harm to them. Not whatsoever. But guess what? Guess what's going to take place? Verse 11 is going to be something right there. Verse 11 says this. It's going to be the translation. I want you to think about this as I read this. Listen, it says, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life. Isn't that something? The Spirit of life. I mean, that's exciting. From God entered them, and they stood up on their feet. And can you imagine that? I mean, God just healed them. Woo! stood them right up on their feet. And they're fresh and brand new again. Listen, he stood them up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Isn't that something? I'm telling you, my friends, this is for real. This is the good stuff. This is the truth. This is going to happen. It's in the Bible. God says it will. We need to be ready for it, not to even be here when it takes place. Amen. Now I want to share verses 12 and 13, and we're going to close. It says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. That's 1 Thessalonians 7. And verse 13 says, the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men. 7,000 and the remnant were what? Frightened. They was frightened right there, the scripture says. And guess what they did? And they gave glory. They gave glory right there to God, to the God of heaven. That's exciting. That's exciting news, my friends. It's no laughing matter. It's the real deal that's going to take place. It's going to happen. We just need to be prepared and ready for it. When it comes, we won't be here. But there's going to be people that's still going to be here, and they're going to have to stand before these two witnesses. And they're going to suffer because of these two witnesses. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord said to me in this message, as I was sharing this message, he said to me, Jimmy, he said, not everybody in every church is saved. Not everybody in every church is saved. They need to know about my two witnesses and what they might face if they don't allow the Holy Spirit to convict them and get saved. For sure. Amen. I pray today that there's nobody here that is playing church or just walking a look-alike road. But if there is somebody here today, I want you to pray that they will move forward. Christians, you know that you're saved. You know that you're saved. Pray for those that are here that may not be saved, that God would speak to their hearts today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so very much, Lord, for your word and for what you've given us this morning, Lord, as we shared about these two witnesses. Now, Lord, as we're about to have invitation song, we ask, Lord, that you will receive all the glory and honor. Father, that you'll just touch lives today. And Father, once again, we ask you, most of all, that you'll forgive us, Lord, when we fail thee, and we'll be ever careful to praise you for it. For it's in the precious name of Jesus that we do pray. Amen. I'm going to be down front here to receive anybody that would like to make a decision for the Lord. So you come if you need to make a decision for the Lord this morning. If you've been